Hey, listeners, get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road, work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Welcome to Before Breakfast, a production of iHeartRadio. Good morning. This is Laura. Welcome to the Before Breakfast podcast. Today's tip is about how to manage your energy when you regularly work long hours. I recently received a letter from a Before Breakfast listener who was dealing with this scenario. In her particular industry, she noted that she regularly worked 12 to 13 hour days. With no flexibility in terms of when I start or end my day, and obviously no working from home, and a 70-minute minimum commute, I'm struggling to stay afloat in terms of my relationships and self-care, our listener writes. Between the hours and my drive, I'm lucky if I get 6 hours of sleep a night. What advice do you have for dealing with a schedule like this? I responded to our listener that long hours can be really challenging. I know that some industries and organizations pride themselves on grueling hours. In general, I think this is a big mistake. From studying time logs, I found a definite point of diminishing returns. Most people cannot do productive work for more than 40 to 50 hours a week over a sustained period of time. Of course, what's often happening is that places with reported 70 or 80 hour work weeks are actually only featuring 40 to 50 hours of real work. But there can be a lot of sitting around, being available though not on, or waiting for other people. I think recognizing this aspect of long hour jobs can help with managing energy. And there are some other things to try too. First, whenever someone is feeling overwhelmed, I recommend tracking time. It's good to know the exact dimensions of long weeks. Our listener says she frequently works 12 to 13 hour days. Does this mean they're all 12 to 13 hours, or are some days shorter? Is there a pattern to when these shorter days happen? What is the rhythm of these 12 to 13 hour days? Are there periods of holding and periods of intensity? The most important question, does she generally have weekends off? Needless to say, 5 12-hour days are more manageable than 6 or 7 12-hour days per week, so this matters quite a bit. Once she has the landscape of her time plotted out, she can start to figure out how to strategically build in rejuvenating, non-work activities. If people work long hours during the week, but generally have weekends off, then the answer to this question is pretty simple. Push the bulk of your relationship time and self-care to your days off. Weekends are real days too. They really count. We don't need to write them off as irrelevant to our schedules. On the sleep front, while it's better to get the same amount every night, someone who sleeps 6 hours, 4 nights per week, and 9 hours, 3 nights per week, is getting 51 hours a week, which is about 7.3 hours a day on average, which isn't bad at all. Likewise, while it's better to exercise more days of the week than not, someone who exercises consistently for 60 to 90 minutes on Saturday and Sunday is getting 2 to 3 hours of exercise per week. That's the same as someone who works out for 30 minutes, 4 to 6 days per week. And of course, seeing friends and family 2 days per week is much better than seeing them 0 days per week. Celebrating these accomplishments feels a lot better than maintaining a narrative of having no time. I also think it's possible to fit in bits of self-care during the week too, even with long hours. For instance, if people take smoke breaks, then our listener can probably slip away for 5 to 10 minutes to get in a brief walk. If there's downtime while she's waiting for people, she can get in the habit of using these little bits of time to read a book. Now, I know that in some organizations, whipping out a paperback out of your bag will send people into conniptions, but they don't actually have to know what you're doing. I feel like most people's heads are in their phones all day anyway. And if you're waiting for someone to give you something, they tend not to mind you looking at your phone. So put ebooks on your phone and read those. If you can't even access your phone, you can use little bits of downtime to meditate or pray or otherwise engage in positive reflective activities. These little treats can go a long way. Our listeners' work days may end unpredictably, but it's still possible to plan around this. She should come up with a go-to option for any days that wind up on the shorter side. An 11-hour day, for instance, would get her home in time to FaceTime with a friend, or do a yoga video, or read for 30 minutes before going to bed. So she should figure out which of those to prioritize, or have a rotating schedule. Doing this will keep her from using any found time for scrolling online or checking social media, which, while easy, tends not to feel like the best use of extremely limited leisure time. Finally, while 12 to 13-hour days on their own might feel doable, I suspect our listeners' commute is what's really making this schedule feel unsustainable. So is there anything to be done about it? If she's renting, she should look into different options when her lease is up, even if it means something smaller or with roommates. If she owns her place, she should consider renting it out and moving elsewhere, or putting her home on the market. Cutting a 70-minute drive down to 30 minutes each way would open up 80 minutes daily in her life. This would be a huge change that might sometimes make it possible to meet a friend for dinner or a drink during the week, or at least to score some downtime before going to bed. What advice do you have for our listener working long hours? You can let us know at beforebreakfastpodcast@iheartmedia.com. In the meantime, this is Laura. Thanks for listening. And here's to making the most of our time. Hey, everybody. I'd love to hear from you. You can send me your tips, your questions, or anything else. Just connect with me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Before Breakfast Pod. That's B-E, the number 4, then breakfast, P-O-D. You can also shoot me an email at beforebreakfastpodcast@iheartmedia.com. That before breakfast is spelled out with all the letters. Thanks so much. I look forward to staying in touch. Before Breakfast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.